SBC Media.
Welcome to the iGaming Daily Podcast, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market.
Geolocation is a core part of any online gambling business, but it doesn't always get the discussion it deserves. Today on iGaming Daily, we're going to take a deep dive with Radar co-founder and CEO Nick Patrick on the latest developments in geolocation and Radar's plans to disrupt the gaming industry. iGaming Daily is presented by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. 56% of the EGR Power 50 personalized player experiences with Optimove. As another special offer, Optimove is offering new clients a free first month when they buy Optimove. For more information and to claim that free month, go to optimove.com/SBC. I'm Jessica Wellman, editor of SBC Americas. And as I mentioned, I'm joined by Nick Patrick. Nick, welcome to the podcast. And I guess I should kind of say welcome to the gaming industry. You know, if you could just tell people a little bit about Radar. I know you've been doing geolocation, but for many other things in gaming is kind of a new vertical for you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks, Jessica. It's great to be on the podcast and great to be in the gaming industry. Radar is a geolocation company. We've been around for almost a decade and we work with a lot of customers both inside and outside of gaming. So outside of gaming, we power geolocation use cases for companies like Panera Bread, Dick's Sporting Goods, Zillow, T-Mobile. And we have a rapidly growing roster of customers inside of gaming. So we work with DFS apps like Sleeper, sportsbooks like Baller Sportsbook in Puerto Rico, other vendors like Every. And we've been really interested in the gaming space for a while. We really leaned in and kind of took the covers off of our RGO compliance solution last year. And it's been a lot of fun and it's a really exciting opportunity and happy to talk about our tech and how we're thinking about the gaming space.
Yeah, as it seems like it's a very different set of needs. Fundamentally, the need of being able to pinpoint exactly where someone is obviously universal. But from your perspective, how does geolocation for sports betting and gambling, you know, what are kind of the differences from what you provide other clients and the adjustments you've made kind of coming into the space?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of overlap, but there's definitely a lot of differences. In terms of the overlap, we have a lot of experience over the last decade detecting when somebody's in a store or when somebody's in a particular city. And I think that translates really well to understanding which jurisdiction somebody is in, understanding if somebody's in a casino or a sports stadium, for example. We fundamentally see the technology challenge as a geofencing challenge. And we're biased, but we feel like we're the best in the world at geofencing. Layered on top of that, there's some location spoofing detection, which we've been developing our tech there over the last couple of years, understanding if you're spoofing your GPS or using a proxy or VPN server, things like that. And then obviously the regulatory piece is slightly different. We have a lot of experience navigating regulations related to location data when it comes to location data privacy. So we're sort of entering the space with a good privacy and security posture. But obviously, you know, geolocation requirements vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And we've been working on programming all of that into our platform, different exclusion zones per jurisdiction or different requirements in terms of the number of checks that you need to perform. One thing that's really exciting is, we come into the gaming space with a ton of scale. So we work with a lot of big enterprises outside of gaming, like I mentioned. We've been handling, Super Bowl-like traffic spikes every week for the last several years. And we've optimized our infrastructure such that it's really, really efficient. And we can compete with the incumbents on cost and end up being 50 to 90% more affordable than them. So definitely a lot of nuance in terms of the regulations and some of the spoofing checks that are required. But ultimately, we feel like our tech translates well. And to be honest, we've learned a lot about operators and their needs here and why they want alternative solutions and what they're looking for. So we're really excited to be in the space.
You mentioned competitors. I don't think it's a secret that GeoComply tends to just be the name people think of when it comes to geolocation in the US. When it came to coming into this market, how do you develop a plan to disrupt and differentiate yourself when you're coming up against somebody who has just been the de facto group to do this stuff for so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, we, you know, we really respect GeoComply. They built obviously a great business. You know, we've always done things a little bit differently. We've priced our platform differently. We've always been a more sort of developer oriented platform. So open developer docs, self-serve sign up, and any developers can sign up, open source SDKs. And we've brought that into the gaming space. So, you know, we've always priced our platform based on not number of location pings, but on monthly tracked users, basically how many users or players per month are you collecting location data for? We found that that tends to be easier to forecast. And like I said, we really optimized our infrastructure. So we end up being somewhere between 50 to 90% more affordable based on some of the usage stats we've seen and quotes we've given. I mean, that can be, you know, seven or even eight figures for the biggest operators. And from a developer experience perspective, you know, we look at developer tools companies like Stripe for payments or Twilio for communications. And our vision has always been to sort of be like a Stripe for location. And so there's a lot of innovation happening in the gaming space right now. A lot of, you know, new types of games emerging. We have a lot of sweepstakes customers, seems to be an emerging vertical. It's a lot of kind of small startups, tech forward teams. They're looking for modern tools where they can sign up, get started. It's affordable. So both in terms of serving startups, we feel like we can do things differently from a, you know, pricing and a product perspective. And then at the high end as well, you know, the big operators all have very forward thinking product and engineering teams. They want to work with modern tools. They want to have redundancy or at least have choice. You know, pretty much every big operator has multiple KYC providers, geolocation. There's kind of a single solution, single point of failure. So we have tremendous respect for GeoComply and the business that they built. I think it's good for everybody or almost everybody if there's some choice and some folks doing things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I'm curious. As someone who's been in the gaming space, I know how much we can get in our bubble about how things are done. I'm curious, from your experience, you have these huge commercial partners in different spaces. When you look around the gaming market, like, what do you think is going to be the next thing, or what, you know, surprised you that we weren't already doing when you came into the space?
Yeah, well, I've been really sort of impressed, and honestly, it's kind of fun how well connected the gaming space is. I heard somebody the other day use the word insular, which maybe is kind of a negative framing, but you know, I go to events like SBC Summit and G2E, and everybody kind of knows everybody. There's a lot of kind of discussion and swapping of ideas, so I think that's great. We've always felt like operating in multiple industries has been a competitive advantage for us. You know, I'm in Dallas today. I'm visiting a big agency who works with lots of different types of customers. I'm visiting a car rental app, and I'm visiting a retailer. And they all sort of want to know, well, you know, we talk to our restaurant customers, what are your retail customers doing? We talk to our retail customers, what are your restaurant customers doing? And so I think the more cross-pollination of ideas there is across industries, the better. So, you know, we have a lot of customers that are building these really cool location-aware app experiences. You know, for example, we power the store mode for Dick's Sporting Goods. If you download the Dick's Sporting Goods app, open it up in a store, it'll say, hey, welcome to this store. Here's kind of special features or offers for you. I would love to see all the big sportsbook operators doing that. If I open a sportsbook app at Madison Square Garden or MetLife Stadium, you know, ideally it knows that. I think I see a lot of community and discussion and brainstorming, and you know, hopefully we can stimulate some cross-pollination of ideas when it comes to location use cases specifically.
SBC Leaders connects the gambling industry's top-tier operators and associations to share the best ideas, collaborate on solving the biggest issues, and push innovation throughout the betting and gaming industry. If you're an operator and want to join the discussion, visit sbcleaders.com for more information.
Coming into the gaming space, what kind of due diligence did the company do? You know, you have to think about not only coming into a regulated space, but coming into a regulated space with dozens of different regulators and different conditions and licensing that you had to go forth. And, you know, did you decide to go get the licenses first or wait until you had partners and kind of reactively go where you needed licenses, for example?
It's a great question. You know, we've been interested in the space for many years. Like I personally love sports betting. I've been a, you know, interested as a consumer. We first started working with Sleeper, which is a DFS app, probably almost 3 years ago at this point, and started to get a feel for their use cases and the requirements there and how that differed from sportsbook use cases. And so that helped us get familiar. You know, we did a lot of research. We are still a startup. We try to be very agile and, you know, move fast, but also be smart about the decisions we're making. So we spoke to a couple dozen operators, vendors, regulators, consultants, you know, friends, folks who've been in the space for a while, and started to form an opinion on the opportunity. Our conclusion was that, you know, the tech was already almost there. Our conclusion was that the time was right to enter the space. And, you know, we've raised a lot of venture capital over the years. We most recently raised a $55 million round in early 2022. And that gave us the capital that we needed to, you know, build the product and get the licenses. Licensing is a big focus for us now. We just filed applications in another 10 states in the last about 2 months. And there's about 10, 15 to go. And so those are in flight. So, you know, my goal is to have licenses or have at least filed applications in all jurisdictions by the end of the year. So, yeah, we definitely felt it out. We've been excited for a long time though, and try to move quickly when the time is right, but also be smart about it.
Yeah, kind of as a follow-up to that, I know a lot of vendors are having discussions when you go into the DFS space, in particular kind of the DFS plus space, sweeps, casinos, social markets, when it is either kind of semi-regulated or unregulated, but still in the gaming space, what does kind of the due diligence look like on that side of things?
Mm-hmm. Well, our platform is very flexible, and we've always given you know, our customers control over, you know, how they're integrating, which types of checks they'd like to perform, which types of geofences they'd like to enable. And so, you know, we support everything all the way from the kind of most robust, complete, you know, location checks and spoofing checks that are, you know, required, for example, in New Jersey, or that, you know, meet the most stringent requirements from GLI. But for less regulated use cases in certain jurisdictions, you know, folks generally want to be responsible, we find. I think that's increasingly the case, but you're not mandated necessarily to do all of the checks that you are, you know, as a sportsbook operator in New Jersey. So, you know, we help our operators, you know, be compliant, do the right thing, and also, you know, enable the product functionality and the, you know, the checks that are most suitable for their jurisdiction and their use case. We've seen other vendors offer a sort of like light version and like a full version of their geo compliance solution. So, we're effectively doing the same thing.
And then, for people who are not as versed in the tech of geolocation, you've mentioned a bit that you're developer friendly. From just a tech standpoint, what are you bringing to the table as Radar that maybe we haven't been seeing in terms of how geolocation has been addressed in the market?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, developer experience already. You know, folks want to integrate SDKs that are generally open source, that the developer docs are very modern. It's just a few lines of code to integrate. So that's been a big focus for us. I think I mentioned briefly accuracy already, but, you know, we power really cool use cases like indoor location for retailers or, you know, drive-through arrival detection for restaurants. I think that translates really well to, you know, understanding what part of a casino somebody is in, or understanding if somebody is, you know, a few meters away from the state border, for example. So we've really spent the last decade or so pushing the limits of what's possible with location services. And I think our accuracy is second to none. One thing that's really cool is We have the ability to create custom geofences if you wanted to, you know, geofence a casino or geofence a stadium or, you know, run a campaign in a certain region, for example. But we also have a lot of out-of-the-box place data. So we have really precise polygons already for, you know, every NFL, MLB, NHL, et cetera, stadium in the US, you know, polygons for casinos and airports. And so, you know, I think when folks think about thinking outside the box and doing something different and maybe delivering a, you know, a region specific experience or a, you know, live sports betting experience in a stadium, we support all of that out of the box as well. And then, you know, lastly, there's a lot of other things we can do as well. We have a maps platform, which we also launched last year. It's basically a cost-effective alternative to Google Maps platform and Mapbox. A lot of our, you know, restaurant and retail customers have been switching their store locators over to Radar. If you go look at the Panera store locator, you'll see a Radar map on there. But you know, most sports books and pick'em apps and you know, these types of apps have an address entry form during the signup flow, and they need address autocomplete, and so, you know, we can power those types of use cases as well. So just to recap, you know, I would say developer experience, accuracy, flexibility, out of the box data. Maybe the last thing I'll say is, you know, we've started to develop a pretty high level of familiarity with what operators' existing geo compliance implementations look like, and we're thinking a lot about how we can make migrations from an existing provider or, you know, coming in as a secondary provider really, really seamless and interoperable. So that's been a big focus for us as well.
Awesome. Last question for you. You know, you mentioned the goal of getting into all of the jurisdictions by the end of the year. You know, end of 2024, what would you call a successful year for Radar in the gaming space?
I think there's kind of three main work streams, and then I'll, you know, I'll talk about the ideal outcome. Licensing is definitely one of them. We've, again, filed in 10 more jurisdictions in the last 2 months. We've got a lot of others in flight. So I think we're on track to be licensed or at least filed in every jurisdiction by the end of the year. We're investing in ease of migration from existing providers, as I mentioned. So how can you do a relatively straightforward swap? You know, again, we've always done things a little bit differently. So for you know, new startups who are integrating a geolocation solution for the first time, they might kind of do things the Radar way and do things a little bit differently. And then finally, we've had lots of conversations with regulators and with, you know, compliance, risk, ops teams at operators. They have a lot of requirements around, you know, dashboards, back office, reporting, alerting. And we most recently launched user risk scores and some really cool new reporting functionality. We're also having lots of conversations with them about, you know, hey, where does the dashboard fall short from existing providers? And, you know, trying not just to match existing providers, but also go above and beyond. So those are kind of the three main work streams. You know, outcome for us is we want to continue to grow our footprint in gaming, both our brand and our reputation and our customer list. You know, we've spoken to lots and lots and lots of folks who are interested in switching. Maybe they're coming off of exclusivity with their current provider, or that they're sort of thinking about a switch in late 2024 or early 2025. So ultimately, I think, you know, success is winning more customers and offering a solution that, you know, is increasingly widely adopted. And again, we've been really encouraged by the response so far, really excited about the progress and, you know, excited about where we can be by the end of the year.
I think it's more than fair to be excited about it. It sounds like a really interesting challenger in the space. So thank you so much for telling us about it today. Hopefully I will meet you in person next month at SBC Summit North America. And I'm going to go ahead and just say, if you guys would like to get a hold of Nick, he will be at the summit next month. I hope that's all right and your schedule's not totally booked just yet.
No, we'll be there. We've got a panel. We've got a booth. Feel free to visit us online at radar.com. And excited to chat if folks are interested.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Nick. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time on iGaming Daily.
Thank you for listening to today's iGaming Daily Podcast, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders magazine. Happy reading.